Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophecy say this is about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. In comic books and radio, television, movies, and this has been going on for over 70 years now, but in these forms of media, this great comic book hero that we all know has been rushing to the rescue of kittens. He's been saving the world from mad scientists, and he's been flying to save Lois Lane. When Clark Kent hears a call for help, he immediately answers that call. And when he sees a situation, when he knows that only someone with his special powers can save the day, he flies off and he does just that. And you know what he says? He says, "This looks like a job for Superman." And so he says that and he rushes into a phone booth. And in a blur, he changes his clothes real quick. And then, you know, he comes flying out in this red and blue blur. And he says, "Up, up, and away." And off he goes. And he goes and saves the day. Well, in our passage today, we see Philip, who responded to a call for help. A call in order to save a man who desperately needed it. Now, he didn't run into a phone booth and change into a bright outfit and go running off, but he did move rapidly. He received the call, he dropped everything, and he took off, and he went to do what he was called to do at a particular place. And what he took with him, was something that only a disciple of Jesus Christ can take. And that's the gospel, the saving message of Jesus Christ. Now, Philip's example is one that is set for all of us Christians to look at and say, you know, look at that guy. Because we have the only hope for the entire world. That is what we possess. And as such, we're called to share this gospel message with the lost, those who do not have hope. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we share this gospel message, the Spirit works. And through His power, people are saved. They are saved. And they are brought into that love and that relationship with God that they need, which otherwise they are doomed. Romans 1 tells us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. And you have that gospel. Yet, even knowing the power of the gospel, sometimes Christians still hold back and don't follow that call and share the gospel in actively engaging in situations where people may desperately need to hear that gospel. And I'm sure there are plenty of reasons why Christians sometimes don't do this. You know, perhaps one fundamental reason is that sometimes we simply do not hear the call when it comes. That call to give the message of the gospel to the lost. That saving message. But let's look again at verses 26 through 27, the first part of 27. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. Well, what we know from the previous passage here in Acts 8 is that Philip had a really thriving ministry in Samaria. I mean, there were just people were coming to the Lord, people were falling around. I mean, there were wonders going on. And we heard the story about Simon and the magician last week, and that Philip was just, just had a great ministry. And he was just being blessed by God. And then all of a sudden this call comes. An angel spoke to him, told him that he needed to pick up, and he needed to head out to a certain place along this road between Jerusalem and Gaza, and that's south of Jerusalem, to this place that's in the desert. You imagine it's pretty specific. I need you to go to a certain place in the desert on this road. And what we see is that the angel didn't even tell him why he was supposed to go or what he was supposed to do when he got there. However, Philip didn't say, "But I'm doing this really important work right now. People are coming to the Lord. This is being really blessed by God. Things are great right now. Why don't you send somebody else? But I don't see what's so important out there in the middle of the desert on a road somewhere. Why the desert? It really bothers my eyes. The dryness." Philip didn't give excuses. Now, he dropped everything. And he went. He trusted God. He trusted that God knew best. And so he followed the call to go. Now, ask yourself, would you do that? Would you do that? Would you drop everything and follow the call of God, even if it was a personal inconvenience to you? Would you do that? Listening to the promptings of the Spirit of God is essential to our following after God's will. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And every Christian has certain callings and certain duties for the Lord. He is Lord. Part of having a Lord is that He's our Lord. We have things to do for Him. And not all of us have the gift of evangelism. Of course, Philip, obviously, he had that gift, that special gift. However, we all we have gifts from the Spirit of God in some way. And we're called to participate in His work in the world in some way according to those gifts. And the thing is, even if your gift is not evangelism, sometimes you might be called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. We can't really say that there are certain things that God won't call us to do. Because God's we don't know His mind like that. He could call us to do something that we may say, but certainly there are other people who are better prepared for that or can do that better than I can. Perhaps you're better gifted in that than I am. But the thing is, it's like the Lord Jesus told Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul was praying hard, he had this thorn in his side that he talks about, and apparently it was some weakness of some sort that he considered a hindrance to what he was trying to do. But the Lord told him, "My power is made perfect in weakness." So even if you're not specially gifted to go out and evangelize folks, sometimes you might be called to do that, to share the gospel with somebody. And understand that even if you feel like you're weak in that, by sharing the gospel, it's not in your power that people come to believe it. It's not in your power that they come to understand it. And then they are saved. Because we don't save anybody. God saves them. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit that He works, even when we are weak in that matter. But how can you know what God's will is, you might ask? Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now this is, you know, it's almost good just to put a bookmark here in Romans 12, 1, 1 and 2. That's actually the next book over, Acts, Romans. I find myself going back to this passage over and over and over. In fact, just this week, you know, I was talking with several young men, and we were talking about how do we know God's will for our life? How do we know what God's will is? And so, well, first of all, let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. So we turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and this is what it says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As a Christian, you are to live as one. You are a disciple of Christ, and as such, that's following God's will. That's, as this passage says, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And as such, we can discern what God's will is. Not, we can discern it in ethical situations, which is you know, largely kind of where this is going. But we can also discern what God's will is for us and what He wants us to do in our life and our service to Him. As such, you must make yourself available to His will. I mean, if you're not available to His will, how can you do His will? And then being available, you must listen for His calling. He may not send an angel to tell you exactly where you're supposed to go like He did Philip. Philip, I guess, kind of had it easy there. You know, there wasn't really any question. The angel said, hey, you need to go to this place. And it's not always that easy for us. Because the Spirit speaks to us a lot of times in very subtle ways. However, we need to be looking out for that voice of the Spirit in our lives. We have to be listening for it. And we need to be open to whatever He wants us to go do. And when we discern what God's will is for us, it is then on us to move forward with it. Excuses such as I'm busy, or that'll be inconvenient for me, or why me, someone else would be a better candidate for whatever it is that God's calling you to do, or whatever myriad of excuses that we might come up with. The fact is, when the Spirit is prompting you to do something according to His will, be it you meet somebody, and just whatever, you know, you might get this sense that this person, you know, in talking to him, this person really needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. Well, why wouldn't you tell them about the gospel of Jesus? I mean, it could be that simple. It could be more complicated where you feel the call to the ministry. And Mike, of course, can talk about that. We can share that with you later, what that's about. Feeling that call to the ministry. Perhaps you're working a job and all of a sudden the Lord starts prompting your life that you got to go into the ministry. And you might actually have to quit that job, go to seminary, live like a seminary student. Let me tell you, it'll make a lot of money when you're a seminary student. And then when you get out of seminary, start looking for a church, or in some people's cases, you know, come in the army as a chaplain. And you've left it all behind because you followed that call of the Lord. It could be something small, it could be something large, but whatever it is, the Lord, you know, may very well call you to do something today or this week. You know, and you need to be willing to listen and willing to act when He does that. You're to go and you're to do it. What do you say? Sing that song today. Go, go, go. And that's what we're called to do. When the Lord calls us to do something, why on earth would we say no? So because Christ has given his disciples a mission to the world, we must listen for his call. Now let's look at the rest of verse 27 through 28. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Well, at some place along the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, God had set up a divine appointment for Philip. You may remember that term. We talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago, but God had set this up for Philip. He wanted Philip at this place to talk to this individual at this particular point in time, because God had a plan. And we're given a little information about this gentleman here. We see that he was a high official in Ethiopia, which probably there was quite a bit of power that came with his position, being in charge of the treasure of the Candace. Now the Candace, and that actually is a title, that wasn't her name, that's a title. But the Candace was the mother of the king of Ethiopia. But the king, was too important to bother himself with the secular ruling of the country. And so the queen of Ethiopia, who was the Candace, she actually did the ruling. And so, you know, the treasure and such was hers. And this particular gentleman was responsible for that. And there's quite a bit of speculation as to why this Ethiopian official would travel all the way to Jerusalem to worship. And there's also further speculation as to whether he was a eunuch in the typical sense we would think of, or whether it was just a title for someone of a high position in those times. But, you know, what's important that we understand today for our purposes is that we understand that essentially he was an Ethiopian official who had come to Jerusalem, was going home, and that he believed in God. That's what we can really say. He went to worship God in Jerusalem. He's an Ethiopian official. So we'll just run with that today. However, even though he was a believer in God, we see that he had not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without knowing that gospel message, that good news, he was not yet saved. But God wanted him to be saved. So he sent Philip. Take a look at verses 29 to 35. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Philip, upon arriving on this scene, was then given further guidance as to what he was supposed to do. The Spirit told him, "Go over to that chariot." So he went over there, and you can see him. It says he ran, so he's running along. And his chariot's going, he's running by his chariot. Now, I mean, obviously he was in good shape, you know, to be able to keep up with the chariot. That's pretty good. And so he's running along next to this chariot, and here's this guy reading a scroll that he probably had picked up in Jerusalem, and he was reading Isaiah 53, which is a little bit, we did our congregational reading today, you know, a little bit from Isaiah 53, which is called basically the prophecy of the suffering servant. Now, upon hearing this man, this eunuch, reading the scripture, Philip saw an inroad to be able to talk to him about Jesus, to be able to tell him the good news of Jesus Christ. So he struck up a conversation with him about it. And you see how this follows. I mean, this is, he saw an inroad and he moved in. He talked to him. And, you know, the eunuch was like, what am I reading here? And Philip said, "Well, I can help you with that. Let me tell you what I know." And now Philip, he had a knowledge of the fulfillment of this prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, how did he know that? Well, he had studied the Scriptures. Back then, they didn't have the New Testament like we have. They had the Old Testament. And they knew their Old Testament. And they had studied and they'd seen how Christ, Jesus, had fulfilled the prophecies. He had fulfilled the law. I mean, all these things. Christ had fulfilled the Old Testament. And he showed him how Jesus Christ had fulfilled this prophecy that he was reading about. He told him the good news about Jesus. You know, so what was the result of this? Take a look at verse 36 through 38. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The Ethiopian believed the gospel. He believed the good news of the gospel. Here he was reading the Scriptures, and he was like, "What is this talking about?" And so he needed somebody to explain it to him. Philip was there, explained it to him. He believed. He was like, "This is great. This is great. I want to be baptized right now." They're in the desert. But apparently, providentially, there was some water right by the side of the road. Some people say it was a wadi or something that had some water in it. But apparently there was some water there in the desert. So they stopped the chariot, they got out, Philip baptized them right there on the side of the road in the desert. What a wonderful picture that is. Now, on a side note of that, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I mean, if you're one of His disciples, and you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting for? Jesus says that we're to be baptized. And so if you have not been baptized, you know, you got all three of His chaplains ready and eager to baptize you. And so just come talk to us, okay? But what happens next in this account? Look at verses 39. Or verse 39, rather. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing." Now, there's a famous professor, the name of Howard Marshall. And he commented about this passage. This is what he said: "The way in which the story is told bears some structural resemblances to another story, in which a stranger joined two travelers and opened up the Scriptures to them, took part in the sacramental act, and then disappeared from view." Y'all know what story that's talking about? Does that ring a bell to you? On the road to Emmaus? Okay. And the stranger that Marshall's referring to here, of course, is Jesus. Now Luke 24, which is where this takes place, 24:27 is a very important verse in this account of where Jesus appeared to these two men and walked along the road, and they didn't know who he was when he was walking along talking to them. Now this is what it says: "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." This is an interesting principle. The gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached starting from any passage in the Old Testament and the New for that matter. I mean, we see, here's the example of Jesus, of course, that Howard Marshall was referring to in Luke 24:27. And then we see, of course, here on the road to Emmaus, Philip did it. I mean, the guy was reading from Isaiah, and he got up there and told him about Jesus. That's how it worked. So anywhere in the Scriptures, we can lead somebody to Jesus. Now, the eunuch would not have heard the message. He would not have understood that prophecy was pointing to Jesus Christ unless somebody had come and explained it to him. And so the Lord sent Philip. And Philip's knowledge of the Scriptures enabled him to faithfully share this good news with the eunuch. And then, of course, he baptized him. Philip, initially, he heard that call. Go. And then he went. He acted upon it. And then he was faithful in carrying out his calling. And then the Lord blessed his calling. That's what we see in this passage today. And then this rejoicing eunuch went on his way. I mean, Philip, boom, he just disappeared. And the eunuch was like, okay. And he went on his way, he's rejoicing. And we have, Irenaeus was one of the early church fathers. He says that the eunuch went back to Ethiopia and became a missionary to Ethiopia. And some think that he possibly might have been responsible for starting the church in Ethiopia, which has been going on for 2,000 years. But we don't know for sure exactly what happened there. Irenaeus, he spoke on it a little bit. But what we need to know is he went rejoicing home, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, saved in Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Christ. And when he got back to Ethiopia, you think he just kept his mouth clamped shut about that? No. You know, he was telling people about Jesus. And so, well, that's what that should just be our natural inclination. Out of our joy in being saved in Jesus Christ, we should want to tell people about it. Because there's a lot of lost people out there who don't know Jesus. And let me tell you, the house is on fire and it's burning down around them. And unless you and they don't see it. And unless you let them know, it's just going to come down around them. We have that only saving hope for the entire world. We possess that. And unless we tell them, tell the world, who will? Who will? When you see an opportunity to share the gospel, do you jump on it? Do you respond to that call? Do you know the scriptures well enough to share Jesus Christ with another person? It's on us to act when God calls. And we must be prepared to be able to act and follow that call when it comes. So prepare yourself to be able to act, and then act when that call comes to go. Because Christ has given His disciples a mission in the world, we must respond to His call. Now it's interesting in verse 40, what it says here about how Philip was somehow transported to this place called Azotus. I've always thought this was just a really neat passage. As you look in verse 39 there, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away." Well, if you remember, Chaplain Jeffrey's reading earlier from Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 3:14, it says, that the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And that happens several times in Ezekiel. The Spirit's always snatching Ezekiel and taking him place to place to place. And again, we see the Spirit of God do that with Philip and take him to Azotus to go to another call, another place, another scene where they need the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's just pretty cool. Up, up, and away. If only it was so easy for us. Although I think if the Spirit snatches up and drops us down somewhere, it might be a shock to us a little bit. Well, anyway, in Azotus, if that's how you say it, Philip continued to follow the Lord's calling of taking that saving message to people. And he took it to numerous people. You know, he did it day in, day out, taking that saving gospel message to people, working his way through towns all the way up to Caesarea. It's like that never-ending battle that they talk about in the comic books. Week after week, Superman hears the call and he goes to save somebody. And then the next week, he hears a call and he goes to save somebody else. And that goes on and on and on. It will continue on in this never-ending battle until the printing press stops. That's just the way it's designed. And as disciples of Christ, we are part of a never-ending battle ourselves. There are a lot of lost people out there. And until Christ comes again, we're to follow His call. We're to follow His call. We're to respond to His call. And to rejoice in that process all the days of our life, or until Christ comes again. Because Christ has given His disciples a mission in this world, we must follow His call.